I can't help you with that.
Turn off voiceover.
Okay, I've turned voiceover off.
Welcome, everybody, to the Six Eyes Gospel Show. This here is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang. We also have Brother Six with us this morning. Welcome,
Amen.
Sir.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. How's everybody going? Going and doing? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm blessed. Got my coffee, and we are ready to have a great show here on the Six Eyes Radio Gospel Show. So welcome one, welcome all. Going to have a great show for you, our surrounding city and states, our faraway countries. We want to thank you for joining us. Want to thank you for making the woke list, and we're going to have a great show. Welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Hello to family, friends, and fans. So I know you got your coffee, right?
Always.
All right. Sounds like a plan. So we're going to have some great music, going to have a great opening prayer by you. And we're going to get this show started. Phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. That's 424-243-9617. Press the 1. Say hello. You know, let God know that you're thankful for you making the woke list. And the deaf angel did not pass you by. Well, actually,
amen.
It did pass you by. I said it didn't pass you by. It did pass you by. That's what happened. I didn't get my first sip of coffee. The deaf angel did pass you by. Correction. So, yeah, we're going to have a great show. Amen.
Well, while I give the opening prayer and then Ruth gives us our scripture for the day, you get that cup of coffee and get a good swig, all right?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I got coffee, too. I'm also eating some rice.
All right, here we go. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day. We thank you. Lord Jesus, in you we have another way, and Lord Jesus, we thank you for this show. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that something we say is honor and glorifying to your name, Lord Jesus, so that that soul that is nearest hell can reel up the white flag and surrender, Lord Jesus, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess thy, with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, Lord Jesus, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessing, do pray, so they can keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first the family and friends that lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you to touch them, Lord Jesus, as only you can, and comfort them, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those going through COVID-19 as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you that you would help them to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we as a people, we need to learn to love our neighbors as ourselves, Lord Jesus. Because in so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor, Lord Jesus, who is you. Now, Lord Jesus, we turn this program into your keeping, Lord Jesus, because its honor and glory is only yours and yours alone. Now we give it to you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Ruthie.
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, I've got Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be one with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Praise the Lord.
Okay, now, Ruth, what was that reference again?
It's Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 7.
Okay, Romans 15, 1 through 7, right?
That's it, hon.
Okay. All right, Six, you said you've got some music for us?
Oh, yeah, we're about to hit the gospel boogie floor. All right, let's get ready to dance for Jesus. Amen. This is Six Eyes Gospel Show. You ready to boogie?
Let's dance.
You ready
to boogie? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's dance.
All right. All right. All right. Here we go. Amen.
I'm trying to pray But where are you? I'm altered, sad, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left to do. Truth is I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry. Even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die.
And without leaving the house, you're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show.
You dig on.
Later on in the show, a great word from the pastor, Kenneth Bonnet.
I am grateful
for the things
that you have done. You look at him and tell him, yes, I'm grateful.
You're enjoying the Six Lives Gospel Show. We're still on the Gospel Boogie floor. The pastor will be arriving soon, where we're going to give him time to settle in before he gives you a great message. Amen. Back to the Boogie floor. Clap your hands, stomp your feet, but move. Amen. Drink coffee. It's in the lobby. Amen.
with me.
recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day. The air is all sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day.
With you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm going to be when this is over.
I smile, even though I hurt the ice.
Are y'all sure y'all want some more of that?
Take a little breather, and right after this song, I introduce Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Amen.
I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise
is to our God. now help us sing in every way. It's you, our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise. Every praise.
God.
Y'all know how we do it. Take it up and give
praise.
It's to our God. Every word of worship.
Just
one accord. Come on, say every praise.
Every praise.
About that song. About 2 years back, it was a young boy playing outside, and a car pulled up, snatched him in the car, took off, and they didn't even get a couple of blocks, and he started singing that song right there. And that man let that boy out. So that song was a testimony, and that song saved that boy's life. To the point to where that entertainer, the artist of that song, met with him, and they sung that song together. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a blessing right there. And now I introduce to you the man of cloth, all the way from Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet.
Amen, amen. I didn't know that testimony. I'm not aware that I didn't know that testimony. Oh, man, that is a a wonderful testimony about the power of praising God and the things that God do. I mean, there are so many testimonies that have been given just of people having a spirit of praise and worship at the time of something tragic happened or bad happened, and God showing up instant in their on their behalf. I'm reminded, believe it or not, there was a young preacher who one night coming home from work, as he was traveling, he was told to the Spirit of the Lord led him to preach. He said, "I want you to preach," and one that was part of his call, and he said, and you know, he was just compliant in his mind, his willingness to preach, and the Lord said, "No, I want you to preach now," and he looked around and said, "Lord, there's no one here in the street with me," and as he was crossing the street there, and the Lord says, "Look down," and he looked down, and there was a big bug, a big cockroach, on that sidewalk, and he said, "Preach salvation to this bug," and thinking to himself, you know, this is a bug, you don't have a soul, but the Spirit of the Lord was heavily upon him to do this. And he said, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to do what you asked me to do." And he proceeded to minister salvation of the cross to this bug. And as he began to reflect on the different things that Jesus had to endure for salvation for all mankind, to be reconciled back to the Father. As he was talking about the thief on the cross and just the different things that took place there at Jesus' crucifixion, when he got to the point where Jesus got up out the grave and how Mary and Martha had came to the tomb to see him and he wasn't there, and how they cried looking for him, and how the angel told them that he's risen, and then how he appealed to them and told them to go tell his disciples and Peter that he has risen. And at the time he was coming around that point, a man came up from around some garbage cans from back that was off to the side there, and he had a gun in his hand, and he began to weep, dropping the gun and saying to the preacher, he said, "I'm sorry, I want this Jesus. I need this Jesus. What must I do to be saved?" And totally shocked and not knowing what has transpired, this preacher said, "Where did you come from?" And the man testifies that it was his intent to rob him and even shoot him if he didn't get what he needed. The man had been on drugs and was desperate. But hearing the gospel that night changed his life. And so we can never underestimate the power of God to change lives instantly.
Amen.
Many of us have read the Bible and we hear about the story of a woman with the issue of blood. And in this strict culture setting that dealt with clean and unclean, and what will make you unceremonial clean, and all of these different things from a culture standpoint. Here it is, a woman on her menstrual was considered ceremonial unclean, and she wasn't supposed to mix in with the normal crowd and things of that nature. And you have this woman who's suffering this type of hemorrhaging for 12 years. Her body is weak. She's frail. She's considered now an outcast. She spent her money and still not getting any better after doctor after doctor. And she heard that Jesus was passing by. And she made up in her mind that today I'm going to violate the law because I got to get to Jesus. Today I don't care who say what and who does what, I must get to Jesus. So she said in herself that I can't go to him and ask him because the people are not going to allow me, but if I can just touch him. She heard how people were being healed when he touched them. But she made up in her mind and her heart that this day I'm going to touch him. And in fact, if I can just touch the tassel, which is called the hem, not the H-I-M, but the H-E-M, the hem of his garments, which was tassel. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole, I'll be made well, I'll be healed of this infirmity. And she had convinced herself within herself that all it was going to take to receive her healing, the hearing of all that Christ was doing, her heart was set that if I can get to him where I can just touch the bottom part of his garment, I'm going to be all right. And the Bible tells that in the midst of a crowd, and she's in total violation of the city ordinance, if you would. Not a major law, but the ordinance of how to conduct oneself. And she pressed her way to so much she'd get down on her knees and her hand and move between the crowd who was also trying to either touch him or be touched by him. And she was able to reach through the crowd as he was passing by and just barely got a hold of that hem of his garment. And not holding too tight, she touched it, and as he walked by, he stopped. And he says, and his disciples, they have him like the president, bodyguard, protect him front and back. The disciples, which were students at this time, they was not apostles, they were disciples. And he says to them, who touched me? Totally amazed, totally puzzled, totally caught off guard. They're saying to him, Lord, everybody touching you. What do you mean? Who's touching you? And he said, no, somebody touched me because virtue has gone out of me. In other words, the power of healing was transferred from him to her. And he felt that release coming from her. She stole a blessing.
Mm.
And because she stole the blessing, he felt it when it released. And full of a little fear, but so relieved that she felt her blood issue dry up that very moment. She stands up from the crowd and she say, "It was me." And naturally the disciples are puzzled. They're looking and not able to say anything. And they're paying attention to this woman who said, "It was me. I touched you." For see, Lord, and she testifies on the scene. And after hearing her testimony, he says to her, her faith made her whole. He speaks of how well her faith moved him in his natural state, unaware, in the flesh. In the spirit, he was fully aware, but in the natural, her faith demanded a breakthrough. Her faith, her total commitment to getting to Christ, commanded a blessing, a miracle, a healing, a deliverance. What I have to say to you today, I have to say this. I have to say that you too, me too, not the movement, but the embodiment of us putting our mind set on getting to Christ can command a blessing. Now, in the Word of God, we see that it says that where God sees unity, there he commands a blessing. So where was the unity here with this woman? The unity was within her self-being, knowing that the Word of God and the power of God to heal, to set free, to deliver. So she was totally convinced within herself, her being, her person, that my answer is in him. And when she reached him, because faith calls for action, you can't say you got faith and you don't do nothing that moves you toward what your faith is about. The scripture does state that faith without works is dead. And so she showed her faith by pressing against the norm of the day, by getting to the presence of Christ. And that's what you and I have to do today, and that's why when the scripture tells us don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together, we have to understand there's purpose for the church. There's purpose for the gathering. Equips us and to empower us to do all that Christ wants us to do. So, those of you that have your Bibles, if you just walk with me for a little bit, we'll look at a couple of scriptures, and then I want to give you 10 reasons why I need Sunday school and the church, why I need this embodiment of the house of God.
All right now. Amen.
And it may not be why you need it. Amen. But I'm going to give you 10 reasons why I need it. And I don't consider myself to be abnormal or above normal, or certainly not below normal, And so if being normal, I need it, then anyone else that's normal, I think you may need it too, okay? I believe it's something like breathing. Mm-hmm. All of us that wants to stay alive, we need to breathe. I just believe that these 10 reasons are reason enough why we need to go to church, why we are having church right now, why we are doing this thing called the gathering of the saints, the gathering of people of like faith, the gathering of believers. So let's go to Jeremiah, Old Testament. Those of you that have your Bibles, Jeremiah, and I'm doing this because this month of October, the last day here being what it is, this month was a celebration for all pastors, was a national celebration of pastors and the elders. Amen. Those that structurally run the church, that keeps the church going, amen, that are in charge of leading people in righteousness. Amen, somebody. And so even today we celebrated Pastor Calhoun there in Greater Somerville, and there's other a good friend of ours in Memphis having his celebration right now as I speak. Amen. Normally I would have been in it, but it was need be that I minister unto you. So to all the pastors and elders, those that have been called into the gospel of Jesus Christ to preach the word instant and in season and out of season, we want to say to you, thank you. Amen. We want to recognize your labor of love and want to encourage you to keep on. Serving God will pay off after a while. Amen. What you do for the Lord and only what you do for Christ shall last. Amen. So you're laying up treasures in heaven right now today when you're laboring, not just for a check, not just for a pat on the back, but when you're laboring to see others make it. Amen. When you're doing what you do to see somebody else receive the free gift of salvation. Amen. And we say it like that, but you know, really and truly, if I took time to break down salvation wasn't free. And it isn't free. Amen. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. So all of us who labored in sin, we have a debt, and that debt is called death. The Bible says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But speaking concerning Christ, it says that he knew no guile, neither sin. But he despised not the cross, despising the shame of it. Because the scripture said, cursed is he that hangeth on a cross. But he became sin for you and I to pay our debt. And because he knew no sin and died for us, he canceled that debt by paying for it in full. Not in part, but in full. So what is our charge? Our charge is the message he preached, repentance. We must say, Lord, we apologize for our sin. We're sorry for our wrongdoing. Forgive us. We must ask for that forgiveness. As simple as it is, so many people won't do it. So many people won't believe it. It is a simple thing, so simple that we say, it's free. It's free. It has already been paid for. All you have to do is acknowledge Romans 10:9-10. So let me go to Jeremiah now. Jeremiah chapter 3, Old Testament. Amen. Jeremiah, one of the prophets. I'm often referred as a prophet to this particular prophet, but it's not about me today. Let's stick to the topic. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, and verse 15 says, "And I will give you pastors according to my heart." Now, a lot of times people read this and they say thine heart. So I read it slow enough so we would hear what the text says in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. He said, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you. This is what he's going to feed you. This is what the pastor is instructed to feed you: knowledge and understanding. What? Knowledge and understanding. And so God said, I'm going to give you pastors from my heart. Now, that ain't you just throwing something in the wind and looking for somebody popular, but when you are trying to connect with ministry and fulfill what God has called you to be a part of in the grand scheme of God's plan for humanity, and you're asking God for proper leadership, when you ask God, then you turn around and you wait on him. You wait on him to answer what you ask. And God answers with clarity. And he's going to give you pastors after his heart. And so I was going to jump to Hebrews 10. Yeah, let's go on Hebrews 10, and then we'll come back to Ephesians. So back in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, 25. Now, let me jump up, go back to verse 23. And so we'll be sure to keep it in the proper content of what I'm already sharing. Verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." For those of you that have listened to programs like this and you have said the sinner's prayer, the importance of connecting to a ministry, of getting under leadership, amen. Most powerful thing you can do is be someone of authority under authority, amen. In other words, me as a ordained elder in the Church of God in Christ, I have someone to answer to. Amen. I have someone to keep me in line if I stray to the left or right. I have someone that can pull my reins. Amen. Even though I'm leading others, I have someone to lead me as well. And yes, it's great to we all supposed to have Christ leading us. We are all supposed to following the leading of Christ. But Christ is not here speaking to us. He has anointed people to speak to us. Amen. And so the scripture here says, so let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. He, Christ, is faithful that promised. The Father is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So when you hear me talking about we're not saved by works, but we're saved to do good works. And here's the scripture that supports that and backs that up. So let us consider one another. How do you consider one another? You have to be in their company at some time, in some type of fashion, so that you are able to put this to practice, to put this to work. Amen. To provoke one another to love and to good works. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exalting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What day? That day, the resurrection, the last days, amen, the second coming of the Lord, the day approaching, the day of tribulation, all of these things that are approaching, even in hard times like what we're in, this world pandemic, we are to provoke one another to love and to good works. So we have to encourage one another to stay on the straight and narrow, amen, not to veer off because others are saying it's okay to do this, okay to do that. No, I'm going to encourage you to obey God. I'm going to encourage you to read your Bible. I'm going to encourage you to pray daily. I'm going to encourage you to seek the face of the Lord. Don't matter to me if you said you read the Bible three times already. I don't care how many times you read it. You still can't know it all. So it still has purpose for you. Anytime we feel like we have made it to a plateau in God, that we don't need to study no more, we don't need to seek his face no more, then we have lost ourselves. We did what? Lost ourselves. We have fooled ourselves. We have bewitched our own selves. Because how can something finite, something just here today, gone tomorrow, expect to fully know he who is everlasting to everlasting? He that spoke, let there be, and there was. That's why the Bible said we ought not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, because sometimes we get off track, and by having a spiritual leader, a pastor, and he's someone to put you back in line. He's someone to pray over you and to pray with you and to pray with you for your family growing and developing, to pray over your children, to pray with you for your jobs, your spouse, and to pray with you concerning the things of God. Amen. And so Hebrews chapter, and we read that. And so Ephesians chapter 5, that's where I was going earlier. So we're going to go back to Ephesians to explain the importance or the mission of the leaders in the church as we are celebrating the pastors and elders, the ministers of the gospel, as we're saying thank you to them. Here's their importance and why. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. Amen. Amen. And it says, and he being Christ, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, I want you to notice, he said he gave some. So everybody can't be an apostle. Everybody is not appointed to be a prophet. Everybody is not appointed to be, we all can evangelize, but then there are some that have that appointment to strictly do evangelism work. That's to go out and bring people into the church. But then there are some that are pastors to love the people in the church and teachers to educate. And we read earlier to fill them with knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding. For this purpose, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, so that you and I are perfected for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. When we are saved, we are grafted in as part of the body of Christ. New believers, new born again believers, you are part of the body of Christ. When the rapture, when the rapture takes place, he's calling forth for the body of Christ, those that will have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of them. Amen. So, for this cause, again, verse 13, till we all come, till we what? We all, not just a few. See, some was the positionals, but all was all in body, for he so loved the world that he gave his son, so that we all could have this opportunity, so that we all can be presented before him, so that, we all can be in right standing. All of us won't be, but the opportunity is there because of Christ. And it's our job to resound that, to let people know that there is hope, and your living do not have to be in vain. So verse 13 said, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge, there go that knowledge again, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. That's Yeshua, Christ, the anointed one, Jesus, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, a little dab is not going to do you. You get a drop of Jesus and you think you're all right. No, no, that's not enough. That's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled, not just a few, not sprinkled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. He needs to be indwelling. Amen. Anybody that can tell you, well, let me set my religion aside, well, then that's something that's not in them. And the reason why they can set it aside is because it ain't in them. Can you set aside your heart? Can you set aside your organs? No. And live? No. They are vital. So is the Holy Spirit. That must be within us. Amen, somebody. So till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness, Christ, that we henceforth be no more, that we henceforth be no more children. That means we can't stay babes in Christ. We can't stay immature in Christ. We must mature. We must grow up. We must develop in Christendom. We must develop as sons and daughters of the Most High. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sliding of men and the cunning and craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So when you don't know the Bible, when you don't understand the scriptures according to this, you can be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And this is who's going to do it. crafty or sly men. Cunning. Worry about they lie weight. That's a wolf in sheep clothing. To deceive. Now, verse 15 says, but speaking the truth, speaking what truth? Not a truth, not your truth, not my truth, the truth. But speaking the truth in love, not in trying to prove I know better than you. Not trying to prove that my affirmation is better than yours. Oh, yeah. That division stuff is the works of the enemy. But speaking truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. God the Father is the head. Christ is the body. Amen. And so, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compact by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We are workers together to build one another up in love. We don't have time to spend time talking down one another because y'all don't sing the songs like we sing the songs, or we don't sing the song in the same key y'all sing the song, and we don't dress this way. Or we don't have time for the petty bickering. Too much is at stake. We must join together as one body. And so that is given to us. Let me take you to one more. I want to go to 1 Timothy. Amen. 1 Timothy.
Please open up that
chapter
mic.
5. Amen. 1 Timothy. We're going to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we're going to read there verse 17, I believe, when I get to it. Amen. Amen.
Take your time.
Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And verse 17. All right. If I back up to verse 16, verse 17 is what I want, but I encourage you to read all of chapter 5. But verse 16 says, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them receive them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. Amen. Against an elder receive not an occasion, but before two or three witnesses. Don't let people talk about your preacher without facts or evidence. You stand with him and you encourage him. And say those elders are worthy of devil honor. Muzzle not ox. Let me read that scripture to you, verse number 18. And then I'm going to break it down just a little. But it's pretty much self-explanatory. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle. A muzzle is something that goes over the mouth that will hinder someone or something from being able to utilize the mouth to its fullest. With the exception of just breathing through the mouth, you won't be able to speak or make much of loud sound or eat. And a lot of times people want to muzzle the preacher. Preacher, you can't talk about this stuff. You can't talk about that. No, no, no. Preacher, you shouldn't have this. And you shouldn't. No. It say don't muzzle him. Because in that day and time, this illustration was that the ox was put on there was a yoke put on him. And that ox had to till the ground. That ox was used at the millstone. And sometimes the grain and stuff would be on the ground, and the stuff that was on the ground, instead of the ox stopping, the ox would lick up some of the seeds and the grain as he was working, as he was moving about, and chew on the stuff that was on the ground that was laid before him, even though it was his job to grind it. Yes, it's the preacher's job to minister to you, to labor with you. But don't put so much restraint on him that he can't eat, take care of his family. The labor that he's doing for you to help benefit you, he's worthy of some of that himself. A lot of times people, when they hear tithe and offering, they you hear the statement, they just want your money. And you name to me one organization that can't use your money, that don't ask for your money, that don't want your money, that is a successful organization. You can't name one. Because if they're successful, they needed money. They needed bodies. They needed people willing to do work. And that required them to have a certain wherewithal to accomplish that which was needed. I shared with y'all before in the proper teaching of this, and that is simply this, the short version. Everything belongs to God. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. So if God gave you strength to go out and make $100 today, how much of that is his? Most people's mind jump to the tithe, and they will say $10. And I will say to you, no, you're wrong. Why? Because if you belong to him and you have $100, those belong to him because you belong to him. Mm-hmm. You getting it now. Yes, you're getting it. That's why I pause. Because I know I see your brain just turning there. So what God was teaching us is management. Teaching us management. Teaching us how to set things aside for the kingdom, for other needs. Most of us, we don't teach economics in the church. We call that taboo, which should be so far from the truth. Why? Because church is a kingdom, or it represents the kingdom of God, and every kingdom has to have finances. So every kingdom that's successful must teach their people how to properly manage money. Here's my proof. Anytime there's a doubt, I go to Jesus. Oh, yeah. Anytime there's a doubt about this or that, I go to the final source. Because we can argue back and forth or debate back and forth that this is that person's opinion, but since Jesus is king, he's sovereign. So what he says, that settles it. No debate. So if Jesus is teaching something, then we follow his teaching. Jesus showed the widow woman who only had two mites. And in English language here in America, that might be two pennies, the smallest form of their currency. She only had two. And she gave it all. And others who had wealth was given in the treasury. Jesus took time. He stopped. He called his disciples. And he made notice. And he made them take notice of this. So he shows them this event of giving. And as she gave, he says to them, this widow woman, poor, have given more than all of these others because she has given her all. Well, they're only giving out of their abundance. So he taught the true form of giving. It all belonged to him. She belonged to him. And when we learn to trust God that way, we are better in the end. Amen. So, and there's much more to go along with that, but that's taking me away from my 10 reasons why I need Sunday school and the church. Now, Sunday school is a system set up to teach you a biblical teaching and application on a regular basis, similar to the weekly Bible study meetings. Or Sunday school is the opportunity where you get to ask a question, or you get to have a discussion concerning it. Not many churches do what we do on our Zoom call, giving others opportunity to do feedback as we're discussing the lesson. Meaning there's a teacher, he's teaching, and you're to just consume what they're teaching. But Sunday school gives you an opportunity to ask a question sometimes that you're not able to ask, especially on a Sunday morning program where there's a preaching, there's a proclaiming, it's a statement. It's going forth. There's no debate about it. Amen. And so here's reason number one. And we read it in Scripture as we're going. Why do I need Sunday school and the church? Number one, it prepares me for the second coming of Christ. It's preparing me for the latter days. It's preparing me for the rapture. Amen. That's number one. I need Sunday school and the church because it prepares me. Amen. It prepares me. Number two, it helps me to understand my benefits. So many believers of Christ don't understand or don't know their benefits for being saved. Oh, yeah. There are benefits for being a kingdom citizen. Just like here in America, there are some benefits that we have of just being an American. Amen. You know, as a law-abiding citizen, one of my benefits is if I pick up my phone and dial 911, three numbers. Help is coming. What kind of help? Whether it be the police, whether it be ambulance, whether it be fire. If there's trouble, help is coming. It's a benefit of being part of the kingdom. All I had to do was dial 911. Now, when I dialed 911, they didn't ask me, was all my taxes paid up? They didn't ask me the color of my skin. They didn't ask me those things. They simply established my location. They simply questioned the type of need I was in need of, what type of assistance that I needed. And from that establishment, they saw to me getting the proper or correct amount of help. Help, excuse me. I stay in the county. And my kids years ago, my youngest son had company over, and one of the kids, this back when we had the house phone, provoked him to do that. And he dialed 911, but fearful, he hung up. And they ran in the room and closed the door. And not knowing what's going on, I hear a knock at the door, so I come out from the master bedroom and come up front, and the police is at the door. There's a problem here. Now, the first thing that amazed me was, Brother Charles, when I opened the door, there was a sense of relief in their expression. They gave me a sigh of relief out of my life. I'm like, okay, you know, kind of course, I was kind of puzzled when I saw that type of relief. And good evening, officer. How are y'all doing? What seems to be the problem? And they tell me, and I say, come on in. They back there. But at that point, I knew the kids had done did something they had no business. And allowed the officer to talk to them. And let me pause my whole entire message and give this clarity to all of us that have used this type of scare tactic to make our children behave. One of the reasons why the men in blue or the women in blue are feared by kids today are because when they do something, the statement from the parent or the person that's a guardian taking care, we scare them with these words that they go to police, they're going to take you to jail. They go to police, he's going to get you. You better straighten up. And what we have done, we have sown a seed of, that's the popo, I'm going to jail. So they don't ask for help when they need help. They run from the police when they should stop. And so many issues happen amongst Black Americans because of this teaching. Stop that. Hear me today, Pastor Bunny is speaking to you. Don't use scare tactics that involve making your child fear another group that's there to protect and serve, not to punish. It's not the police officer's job to punish. They are not wardens. They are not prison guards. So let's stop it. Let's kill that mentality of false training, bad training. Now back to my message, back to my message. Amen. So as a child of God, I have benefit. So when I call on God, God is not coming just to punish me, even if I made a mistake. Now, there are consequences to my actions, true enough. But the Bible says if I call upon him, he'll answer. If I seek the Lord, he'll answer. The Bible says they that seek after God, that go after God, must believe that he is God, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So there's benefits there, okay? One of those benefits is what we said earlier, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart, that means I get to be part of something that's already paid for. And what it costs me to do is basically renounce my sin. It don't mean I ain't going to never make another mistake. It don't mean that I won't make several mistakes, many mistakes. But what it do mean is I won't purposely go out and intentionally do those things which have been revealed to me as against the will of our King, God the Father. Number three, the third reason why I need Sunday school and the church, the third reason. Is to encourage me to grow in grace. To grow in grace. That means to develop. Amen. We read that earlier. But we can also go to James 4 and 10. And it will help me to develop. Amen. It puts me in remembrance that any man in Christ, if any man be in Christ, you know, it may sound like broken English, but where you be, I know it's where you at, where you're going, where are you? Nah, I'm asking the question this way. Where you be? Where you be, sir? Where you be, ma'am? Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. See, so that separates me from just being a black man or separate one from being a white man or any other gender of a race of a man. It separates that where you be. Being. What's your being? My being is in Christ, so I'm not just a black preacher of the gospel. No, I am a preacher of the gospel who's black. Oh, man, I know I missed some of y'all. That's the same thing. No, it's not. I've taught you before that the Bible says in Matthew 6 and 33, seek first the kingdom. See, our problems and our issues of life is we wait till we have those problems, we wait till we have those issues, we wait till we have those breakdowns, then we want to call on God. And the reason why the black community is having what issues it's having, and the reason why the white community is having the issues that they're having, and the Asian community is having the issues that they're having, is because instead of being a community of believers first, they're a community of their nationality, forgetting that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That means you have a new nationality. You got a new tribe now. You're part of a new people now. So, yes, you might have been a drug dealer. You might have been a drug user. You may have been an abuser. You may have been so many things negative. But that's the old you. You're in a new state now. Amen, somebody. I moved from Florida to Tennessee. And the process of moving from Florida to Tennessee, one of the things that was a blessing was I had a home in Florida, pretty nice house, it had a roof and some windows and doors, amen. And we was comfortable. When I got here, stayed in an apartment. In the beginning, now have a wonderful house, and it has a roof, a window, and a door. But it's not the same roof with windows and doors. It's a different one because I'm now in a different state. And so what I used to have, I don't have that no more. I have what I have now. And so if you be in Christ, what you used to be, you no longer have to be that no more. You can be new because you are in a new state. Enjoy your fresh start. Number four, and my time is gone. My time is gone. My goodness. I forgot I came on late today. And y'all, please forgive me for coming in late. We were celebrating with Pastor Calhoun at Guest and Company, and I don't try to do the broadcast traveling anymore for fear of the drop calls and just the safetyness of it. So I have to get back here to set up so that I can minister to you without interference. My fourth reason why I need Sunday school and the church is to help realize the pitfall of Satan. The Bible tells us that our adversary, the devil, goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, you don't learn the traps of the devil until you've been around those that has fallen prey. And they testify about the pitfalls and how they got out and how they came over. And then you see it in the lives of those that are young, that's repeating some of the same mistakes we made when we were their age. And we pick up on things a little bit faster. And we try to share with others so that they don't fall into the same traps themselves. Number five, I may have to finish this tomorrow because I don't want to go over time today. So I'm going to give you five, and if you'll be kind enough to join us tomorrow night for the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, I'd be glad to give you all 10 of these. Amen. With a recap of these first five, and we'll go into the last five together on tomorrow night. Let us do that. So I'm going to give you number five now, and that is my fifth reason out of my 10 reasons why I need. I don't want nobody to think I'm talking about them and putting them down or nothing like that. So I'm keeping the focus on me. In need, me. Not me to think I got it all together. Not me that think I don't need no help. No. The me that need help. The me that need strength. I need some things. And so what I gain from the church and what I gain from Sunday school and what I gain from Bible study and what I gain from youth group meetings and the men's fellowship meeting, what I gain from the pastoral alliances and the ministerial alliances, what I gain from that is how to daily apply God's word to my life. That's why I need it. I need it because it teaches me how to daily, not weekly, but daily, how to daily apply the word of God for my life. Yes, I'm ministering you, I'm preaching you, but before I can do that for you, I got to get it for my one self. Anybody ever been on a plane? In the beginning, the stewardesses began to point to you the exits, let you know where they are in the front, the back, let you know that if the cabin lose pressure, that there's some oxygen mass that's going to come down, let you know if the plane go in the sea and have to make a water landing where the flotation device is, and how to use the emergency switch to get out of the plane. But one of the things that they tell you that is so important in life is they tell you that anyone that's traveling with someone elderly or sick or children, that if the oxygen mask come down, secure yourself first. In other words, put your mask on first. Yes, you love your kids. Yes, you love your grandmama or your mama or whomever you're tending to that may be ill or whatever. They say, put yours on first, because it's possible for the cabinet to lose pressure so fast that it can cause you to go unconscious. Then you won't be able to help yourself nor the person you're traveling with. So secure yourself first. Then you can see clearly how to help someone else. That's my message today. We need the church so that we can see clearly how to help someone else, because we have went there to help ourselves first. Oh, that's good all by itself. That's good all by itself. Amen. I want to thank the Six Eyes Gospel Show for allowing me, Pastor Bronner, to bring you a true word of faith message today. Oh, I pray that it bless you and strengthen you and cause you to want more from the Lord, because there is more. You can never consume too much of God. Amen. The more you have, the more you'll be able to do with it. And don't take this message today and bury it. Say, ooh, he ministered good. Ooh, that was a good word. You need a takeaway. You need something to share. Amen. One of the things that the body of Christ needs to kill is that stingy demon that allow us to feast on the word of God and share with nobody. That's, those days are old. I'm doing better so I can help my world be better. But I can't help it to be better if I don't try to be better myself and resound the things that are better. So let us resound the things that are good. I pray that you receive something from this word today. There's so much more, and we're going to do the recap tomorrow night on the first five, and we'll finish up with the next five. I love you with the love of Christ. Sister Ruth, I'm not sure what scripture you read earlier, but I think we're at that point where those things must take place. Amen. Once again, I love you all with the love of Christ. God bless you and God keep you. Amen.
Thank you for that great message, Pastor. And I do have my lovely aunt with me. So if we can open up that line.
Amen. You're on, Aunt Lavora.
Oh, yes, I am. And enjoyed the message.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. We'll do this. We'll open up all the mics so that everyone that would like to share their takeaway, and your takeaway should be something that you took away that bless you. You don't have to give a long version of it, but give a sure version of it. What really stuck out for you, or what really helped you, or what you really like.
Amen. Well, I'll start it off. Bobby, do you want to go first, Auntie? I'm sorry.
I love all of it because he went to a lot of my verses and books that I read a lot.
Yes,
I was able to keep up with what he was saying through the mental of my mind because my Bible is cracked down. But I do know I have read it, and I stand on the word.
Yes, ma'am.
And
amen.
That's where we all got to get together. I can't say, Reverend, you take that, and I'll take this. We all got to be on the same accord.
Amen.
The same accord. If you going down one road, and I'm gonna get off at the fork of the other one, another member gonna get off at the fork of the next one. Where the hell are we going? Straight to hell. That's not a laughing matter.
Amen.
No, it's not. It is not, and I'm envisioning what you were saying, because the road has, if we're on a highway road to heaven, it just keeps going up. So what in the world do we need to be getting off for?
So
I was following you. Amen. And I know what part of the message that you got there from. And so I thank you. I appreciate that. Amen. It encourages me how people receive what they receive when you release what God gives you to release. So thank you. I think Brother Charles, you said you have a takeaway.
Yeah. So. The fact when you use the little drop, you know, you just can't have a drop of the Lord. You got to have all of it. It's sort of like getting ready to take a bath. And if you got one drop of water in that tub and it doesn't even cover your foot, you're not immersed in it. So you have to be immersed in the Lord. So that's the part I liked, how you use the drop versus just not having the drop of the Lord, but having him hold. You know, so he consumed in the part I loved.
To God
is the Lord. Amen. I like that. Man, both you and Aunt Tina snuck y'all preaching. I see y'all. You know, I ain't scared. Y'all in Ohio, so that's okay. Y'all keep ministering right on over up there. Amen.
Amen.
We spread abroad. Amen. Amen. Someone else would like to share. What did you receive? We encourage everybody, but you don't have to. I'm not going to make nobody. Some people are not comfortable speaking out, but we want to bind that because God has empowered all of us to speak his truth. And so be encouraged. because you never know when God is ready to use you to save somebody's soul. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Anyone else? All lines are open. Anyone else?
Well, I was raised in the church, so I was used to being around, you know, saying the word and everything like that. But the fellowship is also important, and I think what you were bringing out there that, you know, we just need to get into the Word of God.
Amen. 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 And definitely fellowship is important because no man is an island. Amen. If Jesus had help, I know like a lot of times we say this part and it's really incorrect. We say, well, Jesus had 12 disciples. Actually, Jesus had well more than 12, but he had a main 12, his main group. But there was a time when he had 70 and he sent them out. So when we read this, we'll see that he had many people that he sent out. And the day of his ascension, as he ascended into the heavens, there was 500. There was some 500 or more people that witnessed him going up in the clouds. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Jesus needed help, what's wrong with me and you getting help?
Amen. Amen. So I have a question before anyone else answers, and I'm sure the lines are all open. So I'm sure the mere fact that God made you make the woke list today, and Pastor Bonnie, before I had my sip of coffee, I totally butchered the part of the death angel passing us by and waking us up. I said it in reverse. So after I had my cup of coffee, I resounded it right. So being that the Lord made you make the woke list, I'm sure the mics are open, and I'm sure we're going to hear from more people on this line. We have another gentleman on the line, and I do believe we have a couple of females on the line who will definitely want to give their takeaway of what they've learned today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, that is, Brother Six has asked for your takeaway, as I did. Amen. And we want to, I read earlier, provoke one another to good works. What is a good work? A good work is resounding what God has said. I read the Bible today, so I resounded the Word of God. So I didn't give y'all the doctrine of Kenneth. I gave y'all the doctrine of Christ. So we can resound.
Deny me in front of, on earth, I'm going to deny you in front of me. So remember that.
Oh, he did say that. Now, that is the book. I didn't use that one today, but, he tell us if we are afraid to recognize him before men on earth, and we'll deny him before others, he'll do the same before the Father, which is in heaven, in that day. So in other words, all judgment been given over to Christ, and if we act like we're afraid to acknowledge him, then in that day of judgment, we have to give an account. We'll hear these words, "Depart from me, ye that practice unrighteousness."
Absolutely. And it's so funny.
We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear, "Well done."
Right.
Amen.
Is there another? Hello? Who's that?
Amen. That was Lady Bonnie.
Oh, amen. Hello, Lady Bonnie. Amen. So it's funny how we will scream to our lungs, singing our favorite songs. We'll recite our favorite lines of movies. You know, we'll yell and lose our voices at concerts, sporting events. But right now, It's silence, and that just baffles me.
Yeah.
It really does.
You got to soak it in.
Okay, soak it in, soak it in.
Okay.
Amen. I'm gonna let the, amen. I'm going to let everybody off the
You got to open up your mind and let it get in. Because every word he read today, it came from the Bible and that settled it.
Amen.
That does. Amen. That does settle it. Amen. And we're in our bonus time of the program, and I don't know the scripture that was read in the beginning, and we do have what we call the Bible challenge, our bloodhound scripture. We did hear from Sister Ruth earlier. We're going to ask her if she would be so kind to come and resound the scripture from last week that we were supposed to look up or try to look up to see where it is located in the Bible. So, Sister Ruth, if you would at this time, be kind. Anybody know what scripture she read? Did she read it?
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready.
Amen.
What I did earlier was Romans 15, 1 through 7, if anybody wants to look that up later. Okay, now this one is, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Okay, I'll do it again. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts.
I don't know. I do believe that's a proverb.
Yeah.
I believe it's a proverb because of the way it sounds. I'm going to Proverbs 31 right now. I'm gonna look.
Yes.
I'm a look. A king, what son, give strong drink. The women that not drink, forgive, get strong. Okay. I guess that's the last proverb, which is Proverbs 31, and verse 6. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be not of heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. That scripture talks about someone who is terminal. They didn't have medicine like we have today. So this was not God condoning people being intoxicated. This was someone who wasn't who was either elderly and wasn't able to work anymore, to do the things that and life was passing them by. So to reduce their sorrow, this was something they did. It said give strong drink, and it don't say make drunk. So it was something to soothe them, to help them relieve their burden. And I took time to explain that, because a lot of times when you really don't know scripture, you can read into it more than what it says and leave out the purpose
of what
it's talking about. Amen. And so I don't want nobody to do that and think, oh, well, the Bible said I can have strong drink. That is not what it says. That's not what it was talking about. Amen. So I've given it. So go back and read it from beginning to end. Keep it in contact. That is Proverbs 31. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we can definitely have strong coffee.
Listen.
From God.
In some cultures, that may be considered a strong drink. Because some strong drinks are not considered, all strong drinks are not considered fermented drinks. And the Bible does make distinction.
Make merit.
Yeah, the Bible does make distinction between that. Some people, at one point, tea was considered a strong drink. So, yeah, so.
It's like my dad. He used to teach us Bible study on Wednesday night, but every now and then he took a sip of three feathers in the middle. Anybody know what three feathers are?
That's
right.
Yes, ma'am.
But he got the word over.
Yes,
let
ma'am.
Us know which way that we should go, and if we strand at all from his teaching, we had enough of what he said about the word to bring us back in again.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Amen.
So hey,
isn't that the beauty of grace? That's the beauty of grace, having grace. God gives us opportunity to repent and to line back up with his word.
Oh, yeah.
And we have to thank God for it, because sometimes we make bad mistakes unawares. But God is so forgiving, so graceful towards us, so loving towards us. So we have to be, that's why we have to be loving to one another, be kind to one another, be patient with one another. Because that's what he shows us. And I'm not going to ever forget the text that says, if I don't forgive others, he won't forgive me.
Yes.
So let's exercise that forgiveness. Amen.
Yes. If I may say, before we finish out the month of October 31st, 2021, and on the Six Eyes Radio Network, we're going to stay healthy. So we are rounding out the month with October's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Men and women, please make sure you get your mammograms. And also, this is Domestic Violence Month. So if ever you're in a situation where you're being abused, that's men or women, love is never to hurt. So never let them tell you, I hit you because I love you. You know, love is to hurt. So if you're in a domestic violence situation, please call 1-800-799-SAFE. That number again, 1-800-799-SAFE. It's 24 hours a day, and someone will help you. Amen. From the side video.
Amen. So, Ruth, you got a new one for us to look for next week, if you would?
Yeah, you're going to like this because it's pretty much on the same order, okay? Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. It's kind of what you were saying. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. So I like the way Kenny comes up with these. It's pretty cool.
That was so good because you validated my statement with the scripture. And that's what we do as believers. We allow scriptures to define and clarify scripture for us. And that's what you just did. So, okay. That was good.
Remember, she said a little, not a lot.
That's right.
Or be temperate in all things. There's a scripture somewhere else where that says that too.
Yeah, but it was for a cause. It wasn't.
Had a few people in my family that thought it was okay to guzzle. I did it when I had to drink whiskey. Now I had to have whiskey for cough when I was young. They forced me to drink it. I wouldn't drink it after I got saved, though. See, I just don't believe in guzzling.
You go ahead, do a hot toddy, huh?
Yeah, we had hot water with milk and honey sometimes. That was Grandpa. He lived to be 99.
All right. Well, they say a right old age. That's a good to live on.
All right, you're talking about me?
No, I'm talking about my hopes and dreams and ambitions.
Yeah, y'all hope you live to at least 120, huh?
Yeah, Lord.
I may be the only one on the line this month. I'm 84.
Yeah. That's a blessing. I said that's a blessing.
Thank
that
you.
Is a blessing. The good Lord didn't allow me to come around until 68, so I'm thankful.
I thank him day
but,
and night.
But you was there when the events of JFK was shot, and you was there when Martin Luther King, Dr. King, was marching around. So you are our historian.
Thank you. Out to the moment, I made it.
Thank God. And you keep on.
God be the glory, Mother. God be the glory for you.
Thank you.
Amen. I like that, Sister Ruth. That was good. That was good. I just like Sister Ruth's voice. Sister Ruth, I don't know if Ken Zelva, we have I already announced tomorrow night, but we have, I think, if I'm not mistaken, everything is still go for this coming Thursday. There's a special guest for those that are blind or visual impaired. There's going to be a program set up this Thursday on the Jumbo Braille program. Can you give that information?
He knows what it's about, yeah.
We have Laura Cornswell is going to be on this Thursday, 9 p.m., on the Jumbo Braille program, talking about things to do, not only with herself being blind, but about the screen reader that she has and different things. So you'll want to check that out, 9 p.m., Jumbo Braille program, only here at the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Amen. And, again, that was a friend, that a connection that God allowed to take place with Six. And Six came across her on a different platform, and she was able to come and share some insight with us this past Monday. And so we just wanted to encourage those that, if you know someone that has visual impairment and would like to hear some additional information on resources to help aid in that matter, this will be a good program to turn to, as our very own missionary Ken does an interview with her, and she's sharing the information with us. And so we want to thank Six for setting that connection up, and hopefully the information can be assimilated real good to those that are in need of that information. Amen.
Amen.
And with that being said, I am done talking. I put it back in the hands of Brother Charles for our final words and close out. And thank you once again. I love all of you. Thank you, Missionary Ken, for grabbing the board earlier. So appreciate all of you in your respective places. Love you, and keep faith where you are. We're still going through the pandemic. Those of you that can't able, don't fear the vaccination. Pray and get it, so that you will have the proper antibodies in your body to help you to overcome this particular virus, if you so do. Yes, we know God can heal anything, and God can keep you. But when there's opportunity to do better, then we're supposed to do better. When you know better, you do better. And so there are resources out there when we're traveling, and you have to travel. Don't go ahead and put a mask on. It's not hurting. It's, number one, it's going to help you if you are asymptomatic. It'll keep you from spreading it. It may not help you from getting it, but it'll keep you from spreading it. Sometimes people are sneezing, and you don't know when that sneeze hits you real hard. Many people don't cover their mouth like they should because of one reason or another. So, but if you got that mask on, if you got that mask on, you have help to assist you, and so that we are not assisting the virus to spread, but that we are assisting our communities in being healthy. Wash your hands and be mindful. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I want to thank everybody who joined us here for the 6-5 Gospel Show. We're here every Sunday, 12 Central, 1 Eastern, where you get to praise them without leaving the house. I want to thank everybody who's tuned in, who's got fed with the word, who's enjoyed the music. And for those who heard my voice when I spoke, I thank you. Tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet with Motivational Monday. My beautiful aunt, I love you. Everyone who tuned in on the line.
Yes, ma'am.
Glad to be here. Thank you. Thank you. Everyone that's on the line that enjoyed the show, thank you. Everyone that's going to listen later on, thank you. Our surrounding city and state, faraway countries, thank you. And for the podcast listeners, simply go to your podcast, be it Android or Apple, and type in Six Eyes Radio. That's SIXEYES Radio, RADIO. No spaces. And at the top right corner, subscribe to the 6-5 Radio podcast, and you never miss an episode. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. You just enjoy the 6 Eyes Gospel. God bless.
Love you.
Love you.
Call you later.
Yes, ma'am.
Love you all, too.
Have a good evening, everybody.
Good evening. God be blessed.
Yes.